tonight, but you know, I don't know about you, if you ever feel guilty, amen, but I know how it is to feel guilty. And this song says, please forgive me. I don't know what you've done or where you've been, but it doesn't matter, friend. The Lord will forgive you.
Amen.
It won't take him about one second, as long as you can ask him, just as long as it takes for you to ask him. My sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow, when the sun reveals my broken dreams shattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you at your mercy. Lord, I serve you till my dying day. Help others find the way at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for a sinner like me. But I've read in the Bible that old story, how he bled for my forgiveness. He was dying on the tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you till my dying days. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. All of grace is my story all the way. From earth to glory, since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace he has extended, as on him my heart's depended, and there'll be new grace I've not needed before. Grace not yet uncovered. Grace from his bountiful shore. Grace to cross the river. I said grace to face forever. And there'll be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every mile. There's been grace for every trial. There's been grace sufficient from his vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners, and there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bound. Oh,
Great song. Thank God for His grace. All right, let's open our Bible now to the book of Jeremiah tonight. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 8. Quickly this evening, I've heard some comments about the service this morning. I preached on priorities. And also had a whole lot of response of the message we preached last week on bitterness. And if you didn't get that, or you got somebody in your family that needs it, get a copy of it and listen to them, because I don't do that all the time. Matter of fact, first time ever, last Sunday morning, and a lot of people got some help from it. It's on radio. It's going to be on radio the next few days. So don't forget that also. All right. Now tonight, I want to take just a short few minutes and bring a truth here for somebody here tonight. And Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Very familiar scripture here tonight. And I think about this every year at this time. Did anybody do this week? You thought, good night, here it is Christmas time already. I mean, you know, the fall comes, and then we're sort of looking at the camp meeting, and everything. Buddy, when it's camp meeting, son, it's over. I mean, it's just like, then it's Thanksgiving, and now Christmas, the end of the year. We only have... Good night. We only got four more weeks left, people. Did you see the front page of the Morgan and Paper? The end is coming. The 21st of December. That's only 4 weeks. Bring it on, Lord. Amen. If that's a rapture, bring it on. I'm not trying to sound religious. That'd be the best thing could happen to us. This world is not going to get no better. If we stay here, it's going to be sickness and pain and heartache and trouble. I mean, people say, why do you have to be so negative? You live a little while, and you'll realize that's just the way life is. Life is trouble. But then when the Lord comes, our trouble's over. So best thing that happened for us would be for the rapture to come. That'd be December the 21st, the Mayans. Somebody said that the reason the Mayans saw ahead of time and saw Obama was going to be reelected, and that's why they said the end of the world's coming. I don't know about that. It's not the end of the world, but it sure would be a blessing if it'd be the rapture. Either way you look at it, hard times are ahead for this old world. And here it is again. Look at verse 20. The harvest is past. Summer's ended. And we're not saved. That verse said, here we done gone through another year. Here you've lived another year and still are not saved. Here you've messed around, and here it is the year 2012, and the harvest is past. Every year, I told you this, in the spring, when I'm running down my road, if it's pretty weather, my neighbor sometimes out on the porch, Hey, Danny! One old smart aleck guy sits down there every day smoking a cigarette, and he said, run, you might get there faster. I want full rock at him. He says something like that to me all the time. And then I have, and one other lady is on the phone, and she was over there talking very loudly on the phone. I can hear the wall over. I could hear her talking on the phone. She's sitting out on her porch. She said, yeah, and I told him that right there. Hey, Danny! That's what my neighbors are. Some of them live down my road. Well, I see them plant their garden every year. Every year. Them Mills boys that live down below me, they're out there sowing that seed. And I say, well, it won't be long. I see them little things of corn. And first thing you know, I'm running in there. Sure enough, there's corn that high. Then it's that high. Then it's that high. And then I watch it through the summer. And they're out there picking it. And then next thing you know, it's turning brown. Next thing you know, the other day, they plowed it all under again. They cut down this big old giant pine tree. Anybody ever cut a tree and lay it on your garden? Is there a reason for that? To get minerals or vitamins out of a dead tree? Or they cut a big old pine tree and lay it on the garden. Do what? I reckon it, I guess it puts vitamins back in the ground or something. But anyway, it's gone. The harvest is past. Them little sprigs of corn and onions and squash and whatever else they had down there are all gone. And here it is, fall again. Winter in just a couple weeks. And this Saturday is the first day of December. We are almost... I remember when 2012 sounded like a space science fiction movie when you talk about it. I remember that. I remember people talking about 2012 like it was, oh, that'll never happen. People will be robots by then. But here we are. Here we are. And we're still not saved. Let me say just a couple things about that. And I want all of y'all that are so saved and spiritual that you think this is not exciting to pray for somebody here this morning, this evening that really might need this. I know there's some of y'all that are so spiritual you think, oh boy, I've heard this. I know that. So you pray for those that are not as wonderful as you are. All right? I saw people doing things this spring, and here we are fall, and you're still not right with God. Amen? I looked and I've marked the ground, and when I've seen the ground change, my grass quit growing, barely does grow at all now. Summer's over. It's over. You're still not. Some of you back in the spring, he said, buddy, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get on fire for God. I'm going to do something for the Lord. Yes, sir. You can count on me. When this summer's over, I'm going to get in there this, and you ain't done nothing yet. And here, you said that last year. And year before, and year before, let me say a couple things this evening. You're still not right with God in spite of the pleading of loved ones. Maybe a praying mother. I meet people all the time. And I talked to a boy the other day. We was playing ball not long ago. And I talked to this boy and tried to witness to him. And he said, yeah, man. And his name, you can always tell, they got them names like Elisha and Elijah and stuff. I said, you must have a praying mama. You must have a Christian grandma. And they say, yeah, I do. You know, your grandma, some of them boys, their grandma has begged them to get saved for all their life. Some of them, their mama, they've come in at night drunk. They've come in at night after a night of partying. And they heard their mama down in there saying, oh God, would you save my boy? Oh Lord, would you save my boy? Lord, don't let him die and go to hell. Lord God, don't let him die and go to hell. They've come in and heard their mama down on their knees pleading for them and still not saved. You may be here tonight and you're not saved in spite of a praying mama. You may be not saved in spite of a graying father. Your dad was young. He took you when you was little and maybe taught you how to be a man. And now he's old and gray and he's still pleading with you to get saved and you're still not saved. In spite of a praying mom, in spite of a graying dad, in spite of a loving husband or wife. When I think of all the people, I was talking to somebody a minute ago before church. I said, I know a lady. Y'all know her too. She's been going to church over 30 years. Her husband has never went with her one time that I'm aware of. Not one time in 30 years. I've seen that lady wet the altar with her tears. I've seen her get down and beg God, get a hold of my husband. God, get a hold of him. God, convict him. As far as I know, he's never went to a regular church service with her one time in 30 years. He's still not saved in spite of the prayers of a praying woman. Boy, I tell you, somebody's going to have a lot to answer to one of these days when all them prayers of those wives, when their husband just trampled right over them and said, I'm not going to let nobody tell me what to do. And the harvest is past and they're still not saved, even though their wife prayed for them, or husband. Sometimes it's the other way around. I know men who go to church without their wives. I know men, I remember preaching at Michigan years ago, and there was this some man, his wife was full of the devil. And it was the best man. You've never seen such a good man. He had a sweet spirit. He never missed nothing. He served the pastor. He said, Pastor, whatever I can do to help, let me know. I just want to be a blessing to the church. I mean, the preacher could count on him for anything he was willing to do. He wasn't one of these people just come and sit and soak up blessings. He wanted to help do something. I mean, he would work. Something needed to be done. Christmas place, decoration, parking lot, 10 million leaves out there need to be blown off. You know, something like that. He was willing to do it. Always willing. And brother, pastor took me. He said, now we're going to his house to eat. He said, now his wife mean, Brother Danny. I said, really? I don't even know if she ain't going to poison us or something. And he said, I don't think she'd do that. And he said, but she's mean. Sure enough, buddy, she's mean. She's an alcoholic. That is very rare for there to be a dedicated, sweet, humble man with a woman like that. And boy, I'm telling you, she was rough. That woman, when she'd cuss, I don't know whatever happened to her. They're probably dead by now. She's probably in hell by now. Probably screaming right now. But in spite of the prayers of her husband, she remained lost without God. Listen to me back here, y'all. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of her husband, her loved ones pleading. Not only that, I remember old R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey went in a restaurant one time, and he said he went in a restaurant like this, and he said a man come and waited on him. And he said, he waited on him like that, and he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, the Lord said, talk to that man. And he said, no, I don't want to bother him now. He said, I don't want to bother him now. He's working, and he paid his bill and went out. He said he's walking down the road like that, and he said the Lord said, you better go back and witness that man. And he just ignored it. He said he's going down the road, and the Lord said, you better go back and witness that man. He finally got to bothering him so bad that he said, I'll go this afternoon when it's quitting time. He went back to the restaurant, and he went in there. He said, friend, where's that man that's waiting on tables today? They said, you didn't hear this afternoon? That man took a gun and blew his brains out back there in the restroom. He said, it's too late for him. In spite of the pleadings of the Holy Ghost, in spite of the preacher, in spite of the husband, in spite of the wife, they waited too late. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the harvest is past. The summer has ended. When are you ever going to get right? If you ain't going to get right tonight, when are you going to get right? If you ain't going to do it now, when are you going to do it? Let me tell you something about human nature. Human nature, we are so made that the longer you put something off, the harder it is for you to make a decision, and the easier it is for you to put it off one more time, one more time, one more time. I went to see this man in the hospital, and I visited this man, and he had had six preachers to visit him. I was number seven, laying there dying. Six preachers. Somebody in the church said, Brother Danny, he's my daddy-in-law. You go visit him. And I walked over there in Asheville Hospital, and there laid that man. He probably had hours to live. And I witnessed to him, and I said, don't you want to get saved? He said, I'm not ready yet. What do you mean you're not ready yet? Can't y'all figure that out? Can't y'all see what's going on there? What's he going to do? Go party? He can't go get drunk and chase women and gamble and drink and cuss and fight. He's living his last few hours. There's something about our nature that if you keep saying no to God and no to God, your heart gets hard and it's easier to say no and no and no and no. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this evening. Well, harvest is past. It's almost December. The year's almost over. You're still not right with God, teenager. You're still not right with God, mama. You're still not right with God, daddy. You're still waiting on some reason. Listen, you better get right with God before you're ready, or you never will. Just about everything you ever do, you got to do it before you're ready. If you wasn't ready, you ain't never going to do nothing. In spite of extended opportunities, TV preachers, radio preachers, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. I remember before I got saved, Mom taught us all my life that you're supposed to go to church on Sunday. And I remember before I got saved, and I was 16 and 17. You're going to think this is silly, but this is the way I thought. I knew there's a God, and I knew there's a hell, and I was going if I didn't get saved. And I knew, and I was under conviction. And I remember staying at my cousin's house, about half the time over there in Nebo. We'd go out there at the schoolhouse at Nebo and play ball 7 days a week. 7 days a week. And finally, somebody figured out we got a key to the gym, and we started sneaking in the gym and playing ball at night. Of course, I had to play the lights out. But you could barely see a little bit. And we'd be in there playing ball with the lights out. That's a good way. They ought to make all them teams practice like that. That'll help you. It'll help you with your footwork and everything. You sort of radar it in. And, I remember we'd go in there and we'd run and play and everything. And it'd be Sunday morning. My cousin say, let's go play ball. And I'd say, no, let's wait a while. He'd say, oh, come on, man. It's a beautiful day. Let's go play ball. And I'd wait a while. And I remember in my heart, when I was 16, I said, I ain't going to play till after 12 o'clock. Isn't that something?
Here's what I thought. If I'm too sorry to get up and go to church, I'm going to at least wait till church is out before I go play ball. I had more convictions then than a lot of Christians do now. Say amen right there. And I know that was stupid, and I know that it was ridiculous. That wasn't going to help me in the eyes of God one bit. But I knew that there was a God up there, and I needed to get right, and I needed to serve Him. I still believe that tonight. I still believe God's up in heaven looking at us. And I tell you, thank God I did get saved. Amen. After I got saved, I was going to Moose Lodge every Sunday, swimming, every day swimming. We talked my daddy into joining the Moose Lodge. That was a big mistake. And we said, you know why? Because Moose Lodge had a swimming pool, and you could go swimming over there if somebody in your family belonged to it. That was a big mistake. I mean, they'd come home drunk, and people would come to the house and everything. I mean, he's bad enough already. But that was wicked of us. But we said, Daddy, if you'll join Moose Lodge, we get to go swimming, because nobody had a swimming pool back then. Only place there was swims, Lake James. And one smart aleck guy, Nebo, had a pool. And they thought that was too good to let any of us white trash get in it. And so we didn't. We never got to go swimming. And, buddy, did you go to the Moose Lodge? Well, when I got saved, I was going to Moose Lodge every day going swimming. I remember we come down here one day. We come back from Hickory. Me and these boys went out and stopped on the side of the interstate. And we just eating handfuls of blackberries. And I learned a big lesson. Don't ever eat blackberries you pick off the side of the interstate. It might be all right now, but whatever they sprayed on them back then, brother, I'm telling you, it turned you inside out. I got sick as a dog. Went up to Moose Lodge. I'd eat blackberries, hot blackberries, at about 100 degrees. They had chemicals in them. Wonder it hadn't killed us. And I remember going over there, and then I got saved, and then I started feeling guilty, and I went and talked to my pastor, and I said, I'm starting to feel a little guilty about I go to the Moose Lodge every day. Do you think this is right for me to do this? And he said, well, are you witnessing when you do? He said, are you witnessing there, Danny? I said, no, I sure ain't. I said, I ain't witnessing there. I was like that girl went to a dance. She said, it's all right for me to go to a dance. I'm a Christian, but I'm going anyway. And she's in there dancing with this guy I catch, you know. And this guy looked over and she said, well, they said I'm supposed to witness. And I told him I could be a witness anywhere. She said, are you a Christian? Dancing with this guy. He said, no, are you? She said, yes, I am. He said, well, what are you doing in here then? A lost person. Listen, you think it's rough from a preacher? You ain't never been rebuked till you get rebuked by a lost person. I mean, they'll put one on you, make you feel about that high. When a lost person corrects you, Lord have mercy. Like we was playing ball over there that night. Some guy run his mouth over there, and I said something back to it. I shouldn't have. I was mad at him anyway, smart aleck guy. He said something to me, and I said something back to him. He said, I thought you were supposed to be a preacher. Oh. I said, I am a preacher. You come Sunday morning if you don't believe I am one. That ain't the way to act, is it? But anyway, I'm telling you what, brother. Hey. Listen to me. Hey, listen. I knew I was supposed to be in church. I knew. My mama taught me there was a God. I knew I had to be in church. But I kept saying no. Let me tell you something. The worst problem many of you got here tonight is putting off getting right with God when you know what you need to do. You know you need to get right. Some of you sitting here tonight, you know you need to be faithful. You know you need to rededicate your life. You know you need to be on this altar saying, God, put me back in there like I used to be. God, I want to be on fire. God, I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to pay my tithe. I want to get back to choir. I want to get back at visitation. I want to get in the bus ministry. But you keep saying, no, 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 no. The harvest is past. The summer's ending. When are you ever going to do what you need to do for God? It's going to happen one of these days, and it'll be too late. We have 52 Sundays a year. That's 104 Sunday services and 52 Wednesday nights. And then camp meeting, youth rally, whatever else special we have, probably another 20 at least special services a year. And you keep waiting and waiting and waiting. Some of you teenagers sitting right here tonight, you're sitting there saying, I know. I'm 16, I'm 15, I'm 13, I'm 18. I'm going to get in there one of these days. Just leave me alone. The harvest is past.
Summer's ended, girls, and you're still not right. Am I going to be standing here this time next year saying the same thing to you? Are you even going to be here then? It's over. This summer's gone. What are you going to do next year? You didn't do this year. And I will say, in spite of the drawing of the Holy Ghost, man told me the other day, he said, I'm praying for my wife, I'm praying for my wife. He said, she just keeps getting worse and worse. What do you think going on? And I said, just because you can't see evidence of God working don't mean God ain't working. I've heard people say, well, they're living out there in sin and they're living this big happy. You don't know what kind of big happy life they're living. You don't go home with them. You don't know what happens when they lay down and sleep at night. You don't know what kind of nightmares and dreams and fears. And listen, if they're really saved and they're out there doing wrong, don't you think they're going to have peace? A saved person don't have peace out there doing wrong. It'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you crazy. The whole time, something inside you saying, yeah. Every time a phone rings. Every time you hear an ambulance. Every time you feel a little pain in your body. Every time you think, dear Lord, dear Lord, I'm telling you, why do you want to live like that? Why don't you just go ahead and surrender tonight? History is filled with stories of people who wait too late. In spite of the cross, in spite of the remedy God's provided for you, I heard about this doctor who told this patient, he said, take medicine. He said, here's your medicine, but wait 30 days before you take it. And the guy said, well, man, I could be dead in 30 days. He said, that's right. That's right. You want to take that medicine today. Listen, the Lord's got the medicine. He paid the price for your sin. Don't wait 30 days before you take it. Or a year or 6 months. In spite of the cross of Calvary. I say this and I'm through tonight. There's a young lady went to revival. And she really, really wanted to get saved one night. And she walked out of that revival that night and said, I'll come back tomorrow night and I'm going to get saved. A lot of people do that. They're convinced that they need to, and they walk out of there and say, I'm going to come back tomorrow night and get saved. The next evening, some boy asked her to go off somewhere, and she said, I'm going to wait and go to church tomorrow night. I'm going to go out with this boy tonight. She had promised her family and God she'd go to church that night and get saved. But then the next day, boy called and said, hey, want to go to dance? Want to go somewhere? And so she said, yeah. And then the next evening, her boyfriend came in and he went upstairs. And her aunt went up the steps and said, I don't know why she won't open her door. Knock. That teenage girl was slumped over on her vanity there, little chest where she was getting dressed. And she had died just like that. Had a blood vessel, an aneurysm, and went out to meet God just like that. And she stood in church the night before and said, Lord, I'm going to get right one of these days. And it's very unusual, teenagers, for me to do this on Sunday night like I'm doing here tonight. But I'm telling you, somebody might be having the last chance you ever going to have to get right with God. You know what I've learned about the Lord? Why they're coming. I've learned the Lord is very, very merciful. But He will only fool you so long. And sooner or later, something's bound to happen. Let's get it right with God tonight. Come on. Come on.